God's will is what we need more than anything else, I would say, in the world. The will of God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, would you please? Matthew chapter 28. At the age of 8, I followed my mother to a ladies' prayer meeting. I was waiting for her, and my Sunday school teacher came out on the porch where I was waiting and asked if I had been saved. And I said, no, ma'am. Went in, and there at 514 Monroe Avenue, I asked Christ to be my Savior. The will of God is the most important thing that we can do. In Matthew chapter 28, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's translated Holy Spirit in other places. The old English was very ghostly during those days, and they would translate that Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Bible teaches us, first of all, in verse 16, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. They were where Jesus wanted them to be. If you are saved, you are a follower. A follower is a disciple. I'll say more about that in just a little while. And the Lord wants us in the right place. His disciples were where Jesus appointed them to be. Now, we are to be saved. He wants all men, women, boys and girls everywhere to be saved. He wants us to know Him as Savior. He wants us to know it, remember it. He wants us to refresh our memory. He wants us to recall that. He wants us to return, I think. It's good to return to the very place where you got saved. I did that one time. I was in my hometown for a revival meeting, and the pastor said, Would you like to do something? And I said, yes, I'd like to go back out to the place where I got saved. He said, would that be the home of the Browns? Not many relatives, just same name. And we went out there, and he and I had just a wonderful time, visited with them, and Helen Brown and her husband, we call him Brownie. And I got ready to leave. Wonderful, wonderful people, just lovely people. And I said, well, you changed the furniture around a little bit. And I said, I noticed over there on the side, there used to be a divan. And Brownie spoke up and said, yeah, she's moving furniture around all the time. You know how these women are. So I said, well, I knelt right there. And I said, if you don't mind, I'd just like to kneel there. And they said, would you please? Let me tell you this. If you're saved, now if you're saved, you know where it happened. Don't come up with this thing. Well, I think I was. I believe I was. I'm not sure, but don't tell me that. Listen, I know where I was when World War II ended. When I was 11 years old. I know where I was. I know where I was when Franklin Delano Roosevelt died. I know where I was. I was out in the backyard. My mother came to the door and she said, Bobby, the president just died. You remember moments like that. You remember emotional moments like that. I know where I was when I was moved upon the Lord to be a preacher. I know where I was. I know where I was when I went to Chattanooga to train for the ministry the first time. I know where I was when John F. Kennedy got shot. I know where I was. I know where I was when the capsule blew up. I was in Pontiac, Michigan in a meeting and with a pastor, and we were going to visit in the hospital and went through the, and here's people gathered around the TV. Now, what are you going to do when you see a big, unusual situation around the TV? You're going to stop and see what it is. I know where I was. I know where I was when 9/11 happened, and you do too. We were in meetings in Las Cruces, New Mexico, 7:30 in the morning, people hollering and screaming in the other room. We got up, went in there. We saw it all happening. I'm telling you, you know where you are when important things take place. Now, if you don't know where you were when you got saved, you better check up on your salvation. You've got to know. You may not remember the date. You may not remember it, but you know where it was. And you know what happened, because that's the greatest experience of anybody's life. To be born again, to pass from death unto life. And if you can't put your finger on a place, well, I think I've always been a Christian. You got a problem. And if you don't know and you can't put your finger on a place, you ought to get that settled tonight. So you'll know it was right here in this building on this Wednesday night. You ought to know that. Now, be in the right place. Remember, refresh, recall. Go back to that place. It'll bless your heart. I went back to that place and I said, if you don't mind, I want to kneel here. I knelt where I was years before that time, where as an 8-year-old kid, my Sunday school teacher pointed me to Jesus. And it did something to this preacher's heart. You say, well, I can't go back. They've torn the building down. What do they make there? A parking lot? Get out in the middle of the parking lot. Kneel right there in the middle of the parking lot. You say, I wouldn't do a thing like that. Well, these people run around with holes in their ears and chains hanging off of their neck. And if they don't have a hole in their ear or somewhere where they want to put a chain, they'll drill a hole in their body and hook something onto it. Bunch of freaks running around here. Well, you ought not to be ashamed to go back and kneel in a parking lot. Take 5 minutes, get out there as close as you can if they've torn the building down, and just say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I'm as close to the place as I can be, right here. That'd do something for you. So be in the right place. Know, be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can be surrendered, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily submitted. When you submit, you give your all. When you surrender, well, it's different. Let's see. You're in the Army of the United States of America, and you're over there fighting, and a guy walks up behind you, and he puts a gun in your back and says, if you don't drop your weapon, I'll cut you in half. He can hold that trigger down just a few seconds, and brrr, that's the end of it. So you drop your gun. You surrender. Does that mean you join them? Does that mean you marry into that crowd? Does that mean you start eating with them and you start fighting for them? No, it doesn't. But you've surrendered. What is the problem? You haven't submitted. Now, this song, I Surrender All, doesn't cover the bases. If it's I submit to thee, that's different than a surrender. So my question is, not are you surrendered, but have you submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? Be in the right place. Right place. And in the service. The church. The right church. What have I done? What am I doing? And then know his presence. Look at the next verse there, verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And the Bible says that his presence was with them. They looked at him. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that we have a Savior. And know his presence and look for his return. Jesus Christ is coming again. I remember after I heard about the return of Jesus Christ, I was just a kid and loved to go to the movies and loved to see Gene Autry and Frog Milhouse, you know, and Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and I saw them all, loved it. Oh, man, I had a bit. Then I got saved. And my dad's barbershop was on the corner of 2nd and Sycamore in Evansville, and there's a movie theater half a block down, and they had some Walt Disney thing going on, and I went in there, and I was going to sit back and watch this thing, and all of a sudden I thought, good night. My pastor preached on the return of Christ, and I said, here I am sitting here, and I knew any moment the top of that building is going to open up and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ was present. And I stayed in there a few minutes, maybe 7 to 10 minutes, and I got up and I got out of there. And I haven't been back in those buildings since, for that reason. You see, when you get saved, there's a certain amount of convictions that come with it. And when you get saved, you stop your social drinking. When you get saved, you stop your gambling. When you get saved, you're true and you quit running around on your wife. When you're saved, you start doing things because you know the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro. And He knows everything we do. The Lord even knows our thoughts. And we're to know His presence. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit of come. We need to know that Jesus Christ could come any moment. So don't do anything you wouldn't want to do at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want you to notice the next verse. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Power over sin. Power over selfishness. The power of security in Jesus Christ. Power to witness. My father-in-law wrote a chorus. Souls lost and dying. Souls sick with sin. Souls that are perishing day by day. Lord, help me to win. The Bible is teaching us that we can have the power of God on our lives. I like to fish. Had a deacon in my church when we were in Illinois. And he said, let's go fishing, preacher. I said, I'd love to go. We got out on Lake Michigan, used up some gas, and caught a few fish and came in to put some more gas in the boat. And while we were there, we saw a man on a yacht, and his yacht was completely silent. He was working frantically to get the thing started, and he couldn't get it started. And it was headed right toward a pier. It hit the pier, splintered the boards, and he turned around and noticed right across the little canal where we were putting gas in our boat, he turned around to us and to his audience, about 6 or 7 of us, he said, no power! That's all I had to say. No power. I'd rather be anything I know of in the world than have the power of God all for my life. I walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. And that ought to be our theme. That ought to be our theme. If we don't do it, we're unworthy. So power over sin, the power of security, power to witness, tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to carry out program. The program of God. In verse number 19 of chapter 28 of the book of Matthew, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even at the end of the world. Now, this has been labeled the Great Commission. I do not refer to it as a commission. You can be committed or you can be issued a commission, but you can fail to follow through with that commission that you've been committed. But when you are ordered and have a command, if you don't do that, you're going to be in trouble. I call this the great command. Now, who is this command to? If you're born again, the command is yours. It's mine. You say, what do you mean? He said this to the disciples. Okay, follow me and I'll make you to become what? Fishers of men. What is a disciple? A follower. So when you're saved, you are a disciple. We had a family in our church that said, this is just for the disciples only. They mixed up for sure. Listen, folks, if you're saved, this is a command. This is command. And it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. How many of you ever been out of the United States of America? Let's see your hands. Have you? Okay. Did you know they've got tracts in every language that you have visited abroad? Did you know that? You say, well, I can't speak their language. No, but you can hand them a tract in their language. We're to be witnesses. This is serious business. And the reason we're nonchalant Christians is because we have just never let the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, take hold of us. So if you go into another country, you can get tracts in that next country. Hand the tracts out. Go into all the world. Go into all the world. Now, the Lord promises some wonderful things when we're doing it. If we're not doing it, those promises are no good. And we're to go, and we're to teach other people, and there's always a way to direct people to how they can get into a church. Even Germans will come into the English-speaking churches over there and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Yeah. Other languages, they'll come. They have a translator, interpreter. And teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always. The Lord promises to be with us when we're doing this. Now, that's the Bible. The Lord wants to use you. He wants to use me. I believe the Lord would be satisfied if people were coming into this building, listening to the Scripture, listening to the Word. And we have a great opportunity. Great opportunity. And so let's use it. Let's use it. This is our command to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye shall be my witnesses. What's the opposite of wisdom? What would the opposite be? The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. What's the opposite of wisdom? And if we're not winning souls, dear Heavenly Father, we think of our country. We think of the goodness of God over these years. We thank Thee for a country that has loved the Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, for the United States of America. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege of being born again, passed from death unto life. We thank Thee, Jesus, for coming to this earth with us in mind. Every one of us in this building, every one of us outside this building, in this city, in this state, in America, in the world, we know that because we read very clearly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we know that thou art not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that. And Father, we pray that the burden will increase. We pray, Lord, that these empty seats will be filled. We pray that people of God will be revived in such a way not to let one week go by without inviting somebody to Jesus, without inviting somebody to come as their guest. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt use these days to build up thy work right here in this Speedway area. Speak to our hearts now, we pray. Thank you for loving us and giving the word. In Jesus' name, amen.